Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Yes, sir. Dan Feldman here. Welcome to Locked On Pistons. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at DanFeldmanNBA. The Pistons officially announced they're going to retire Richard Hamilton's number 32 this year in a game against the Celtics. Hamilton is the third member of the 2004 championship team to get his number up in the rafters following Ben Wallace and Chauncey Billups. And so we're going to talk a little bit about whether this is the quote-unquote right move for the Pistons. The first thing, though, that I want to get out there is that I'm happy this is happening. I'm happy for Richard Hamilton. It's a cool thing. That doesn't make it the right thing, though. There is a difference. Personally, if I were in charge from that team, it would have been Ben Wallace and Chauncey Billups, and that's it. I think anybody else dilutes a little too much, and Hamilton and Rasheed Wallace and Tayshaun Prince just weren't quite at that level of jersey retirement. And the easy retort is going to be, well, they retired Vinnie Johnson's jersey. How can they not retire Richard Hamilton's? Well, retiring Vinnie Johnson's jersey was probably a mistake. Don't compound it. You know, not that this is a big deal. Teams can retire whatever jerseys they want. You know, the Miami Heat have Michael Jordan's jersey retired. There's some silly stuff that happens. The Pistons haven't engaged in that level of ridiculousness. But personally, I think Vinnie Johnson was a little too far. I think Richard Hamilton is a little too far. That said, you know, there were some great memories with Richard Hamilton with the Pistons. He was so tireless running around off-ball screens to get mid-range shots. Him wearing the mask, he made the mask cool. That's how cool Richard Hamilton was. He made wearing this dorky-looking mask cool, like to the point where people wanted to emulate it. His cornrows were awesome. He had like a sponsorship deal at one point with a tire company to have his tread design in his cornrows. I mean, he was just cool. Like anything he did, he made it cool. That's why I still say yes, sir, because Richard Hamilton used to end his interviews that way, and it just sounded cool. I picked it up, and I still say it sometimes. So he was a lot of fun. My favorite Richard Hamilton memory is from the 2004 conference finals on the way to that championship. The Pistons were playing the Pacers, and this was the most knockdown, drag it out, defensive minded playoff series I've ever seen. I mean, this was a battle. Maybe there were some other ones in the 90s, like some Knicks Heat types of series involving those teams that I wasn't paying as close attention to, that I was younger, that were of this style. But in this era, even as much as the game has changed since then, this one stood apart to me. And it's really, I think, an underrated thing of what prepared the Pistons to beat the heavily favored Lakers in the finals. That after battling those Pacers, going against the Lakers' defense felt so easy. There was just so little resistance. It's not like the Lakers had an awful defense. But just by comparison, the Lakers were soft compared to the Pacers. And if you can overcome that, if you can battle through how tough those Pacers were, yeah, by the time you got to the Lakers, no matter how talented the Lakers were, it felt easy in a way. So I think this is a real underrated series in the existence of the Pistons and on the Pistons' run, because everybody looks to the finals for obvious reasons. So the Pistons are playing the Pacers. It's game six. The Pistons are up 3-2. Richard Hamilton has been the Pistons' top scorer, maybe even best player in this series, because scoring came at such a premium. Everybody was playing defense, and he was still putting up points, and fairly efficiently. The Pacers didn't have anybody who could match that. That was the difference in this series. And Richard Hamilton was guarded most of the series by Ron Artest, now Meta World Peace, who was an elite defender, an elite perimeter defender, and Hamilton was still putting up points. That was the difference. And it was late in game six. And Ron Artest, I don't know if you remember this, because there's been so much about Ron Artest since then, and you know, now into Middle World Peace. But he used to have a huge problem with flagrant fouls. Like, he picked up flagrant fouls at an excessive rate, like to the point where it was a problem for the league, and there were discussions about, you know, what to do about it, in the same way like Rasheed Wallace had with technicals at one point. And this was when Sheed was with the Trailblazers. But Ron Artest, like, was the king of flagrant fouls, and he had gotten past it, and that's a part of the reason why the Pacers had gotten so good. Ron Artest had grown and developed and matured as a player to where his skills and abilities were shining, rather than these flagrant fouls that were detrimental to him and his team. I mean, the point, you get a couple of them, he's getting kicked out of games. It was a huge problem, suspensions. And so he had gotten this under control, but the Pistons were just starting to maybe make a little run to get a little separation. There wasn't much separation ever in this series, but at the end of game six, the Pistons looked like they were on the brink of getting some control and winning the series. And Richard Hamilton, just so relentless, just driving Ron Artest crazy with all of his off-ball cuts and just nonstop motor, he drew a technical foul. And I think Richard Hamilton went down a little bit and embellished it. You know, he walked off the court. In my mind, I'm not sure that this is exactly what happened, but I remember Mike Abdenauer coming out and holding a towel to Richard Hamilton's face and just really playing this up. And, you know, I'm sure it hurt, but it did seem a little embellished. I didn't care. I loved it. And Richard Hamilton sunk the free throws, helped put the Pistons on top, helped pull away in this game. And just such a fitting cap for Rip to get this standing ovation, all the attention on him, because so much of it at other times went to the other four, and like Rip got a lot too, but they had to share it so much because they appeared so balanced on paper to a lot of people, and for Rip to have that moment, that was special. This will be special when his jersey goes up. One of the reasons I'm hesitant about whether he should have his jersey retired, beyond the fact that, you know, I think he was, I don't know, fourth or fifth in the pecking order in terms of quality of play. He was the leading scorer on a lot of those excellent Pistons teams. So that brought him a lot of recognition from people who don't dig deeper, who think points equals good. The end. You know, who think Ben Wallace was the fifth guy when Ben Wallace was by far the first and Chauncey Billups was the second. And then it can get debatable from there. But the end of the Richard Hamilton era in Detroit was ugly. And maybe people now, it's a few years later, have forgotten just how ugly it was. Richard Hamilton signed a contract extension, a lucrative contract extension, with the Pistons when they didn't really need to give him one and didn't really need to pay him that much. And, you know, this is one of the big moves in the undoing of Joe Dumars when he went from brilliant executive to what the heck are you doing? So Richard Hamilton signed this contract extension, or at least agreed to this contract extension, as the story goes. And this is where there's some murky details, but best I can tell, Richard Hamilton agreed to the contract extension. The Pistons traded Chauncey Billups, and Richard Hamilton was unhappy. And best I can tell, Joe Dumars gave him the option of, okay, if you don't want to take the extension, you don't have to. And then Hamilton signed it and made it official so that he had the option. I don't blame Hamilton for that. A lot of players take the money in that situation. A lot of us do that in our jobs. You take a job you aren't as happy with because it pays very well. We do that all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. However, the team was in the decline. Hamilton never embraced leadership. He just complained a lot about where the team was going. He complained a lot to referees. He became a big whiner. His game slipped a little bit. He was headstrong. He had bad coaching at the time. You know, this is the John Kuster era. There were problems beyond him, but he made all of them worse. It got to the point where the Pistons just bought him out to get rid of him, and it left a sour taste in a lot of people, myself included, on Hamilton. But time heals all wounds. It's good to celebrate the good with him. We don't need to dwell too much on the bad. I do think it's worth talking about him in the overall picture, though, of his time with the Pistons. I'm not trying to ignore that down era. I don't want to ignore it, but I want to celebrate the good, too. And there was a lot more good than bad. Those few years definitely didn't ruin his legacy in Detroit, but it did. It did tarnish it a little bit. It went from sparkling to less than that. And that's okay. I think on the sum of it, there's definitely a case to retire his number. I happen to disagree, but this is a nice thing. I am happy about it. So we'll look forward to that more as it comes closer in February. For now, the Pistons are playing the Warriors tonight. It appears John Luer is going to start. That was the plan for the Grizzlies game on Wednesday. But John Luer got into a car crash, could not make it to shoot around. And so the Pistons stuck with their usual starting lineup. Are they going to start Luer over Tobias Harris or Marcus Morris? My guess is Tobias Harris, but I could see either way. We talked more about that in the last couple days if you want to go to those podcasts for that a little more in depth. Assuming Luer is the power forward, I suppose there is a chance he could start over Andre Drummond. But assuming Luer is the power forward, he is going to have a tough matchup. Draymond Green is back with the Warriors after having a newborn baby and being away for the team for their game against the Nets yesterday. That really, you know, is going to be a tough matchup for Luer. Green will be maybe rested. You know, I don't know. Newborn kid, flight back to the Bay Area, and then back out to his native Michigan. It can be exhausting, so maybe he won't be well-rested. Maybe the Warriors won't be well-rested after playing yesterday. That's the hope for the Pistons. And that maybe the Warriors are looking ahead. They've got a huge game on Christmas Day against the Cavs. That's when everybody around the league is circling. So that's the hope, because the Warriors are way, way better than the Pistons. The Warriors have an elite offense, obviously. I don't think that's going to surprise anybody, even those who haven't paid attention to Golden State this year, to see how this actually turned out. You put Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green on one team, they're going to be excellent. Zaza Pachulia is very underrated as their center. Andre Iguodala is an elite sixth man. JaVale McGee, Flint native, having a nice season for the Warriors. He's kind of been a laughingstock around the league, but he gives them nice minutes. A rookie, Patrick McCaw, is even coming off the bench and providing a little bit of punch. Sean Livingston is still steady. The Warriors are excellent, and it's going to be tough for the Pistons unless the Warriors are looking ahead, and that's going to be the case Monday, too, if this holiday buzz catches up with teams, because the Pistons have the Cavs, the other side of that Warriors-Cavs Christmas Day game. The Pistons have the Cavs the next day on Monday, and we'll be back Monday to look ahead to that game as we know more after the Christmas game. But hopefully those two teams run each other ragged and the Pistons have an easier time against the Cavs. This is a time of year where there can be some fluke results, and that's what the Pistons need, because they're going into tougher matchups in these next two games. So we'll be back Monday to talk about the Warriors game and to look ahead to the Cavs. You can follow Locked On Pistons on Audio Boom or subscribe on iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Feldman NBA. Thanks for listening.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.